How many of you don't mind waiting on the Lord to do what you need him to do this morning? Come on, praise team. Let us know we don't mind waiting. But sometimes we get in such a big hurry to go nowhere. Or either to go the wrong place. But how many of you don't mind waiting on the move of the Lord this morning? Don't mind, I don't mind, I don't mind.
Don't mind waiting.
No, I don't.
Don't mind waiting.
See, if you need him, you'll stay right in his presence and just let him touch you. Come on, if you're waiting on him this morning, why don't you just reach out to him? Because we need you, Lord. We need you.
I don't mind waiting.
I'm no longer going to be impatient, but I need you, Lord. And I'm going to wait. I'm waiting in faith. And I'm waiting in thanksgiving. Why don't you just take a seat at his feet this morning? We've been talking about that. Just take a seat at his feet and just wait on him. I don't mind.
I don't mind waiting.
Just stay right there. On the Lord.
On
stay right there
the
where
Lord.
You are.
I don't mind. I don't mind waiting. I don't mind waiting.
Just touch two people and let them know. If it haven't happened yet, don't move. Wait on the Lord. Let them know. Don't give up. Just wait on the Lord. The Lord waited on you while you were making up your mind. So it's not that he's not answering you. He just wants you to sit in his presence for a while to get to know who he is before you start asking for stuff. So I don't mind waiting, Lord. Because you left me alive so that I could wait. Hallelujah, Jesus. Don't you move. Don't you move. Get right into his presence. Because I'm telling y'all, our services are going to be different. That's okay with me. But if we can't come in here and get in the presence of the Lord, we haven't done very much. Because I didn't come here to get emotional. I came here to feel the presence of God. Because emotions come and go. But if you get in the presence of the Lord, you can't help but to be changed. Your situation has to get better when you get in His presence. See, the best thing you can do is be completely honest with God right now. Don't go to Him like you got it together. If you messed up, say, "Here I am, Lord, messed up, but I need Your presence. Here I am, Lord, I didn't do right this past week, but I need Your presence. Here I am, Lord, I thought I had it right, but I found out that I didn't. Here I am, Lord." I wish you'd get honest with God. It's not like He doesn't know anyway. I dare you to get completely honest with Him right now and just stand before Him. Sit down at His feet.
I don't mind waiting on the Lord.
Thank you, Lord. As you're being seated in the presence of God, just continue to wait on Him. Hallelujah. And what waiting really means is, I'm here to worship and praise You. Yes, I have needs, but I'm growing up enough to know, God, that the first thing I need to do is worship and praise You. And I'll wait for whatever else You're going to do. But as long as I'm in Your presence, my life is all right. Did anybody get that? As long as I'm in Your presence, God, my bills are due, it's okay if I'm in Your presence. If my body is hurting, it's okay if I'm in Your presence. If I don't have peace, it's okay if I'm in Your presence. Because if I stay there, all of those things will come. Somebody give Him praise. Thank You, Lord. Praise Him because He allows you to be in His presence. Don't worry about the stuff you need done. Just wait on Him and stay in His presence. And I guarantee you, God will meet your needs. But He understands your biggest need is to be in His presence. That's what West Union is going to be all about. The place where we enter into the presence of God. You'll have a lot of people doing more jumping, shouting, and running. You'll have a lot of people with better music and better choirs and singing and all of that. But I guarantee you, you won't find a place where you have access to the presence of God like you do in this place. Come on, somebody, get into His presence. Because a fancy building don't mean God is there. Brand new cars all over the parking lot, and you can't hardly get in the parking lot, still don't mean God is there. And I'm not envious of any of those things, but I'm telling you, thank God for what you have. Thank you, Lord. We're going to get into the Word. I know they just don't know how to record us because it's just... Amen. Just go with the flow. Hallelujah. Praise God. There's a word from the Lord, but we're going to get into our message this morning. You know, we've been talking about having faith in God and in the work of His Son, Jesus Christ. Right with God. And not the work of the law. Everybody been here with us? And it's been a blessing to me because I know what it is to struggle to do right. None of y'all, you know, going to church has almost been like growing up in your house. You did right because you didn't want to get in trouble. Am I the only one? It was some stuff you didn't do in your house because you didn't want to get in trouble for doing it. You didn't do it because you didn't want to do it. And so we have translated that same thought and mindset into the church. A lot of us, we are trying to do right, not because we want to do right, but we're trying to do right because we don't want to get in trouble. When God has already told us that there is none right under the sun. And what he's trying to say to us is it is beyond our human capabilities to do what's right. Because if you were born with a nature of sin, something's got to change in you in order for you to be able to do right. Has anybody been born again? But see, even being born again does not make you do right. He says you are a new creature. He didn't say you was a right creature. And so some of us get that thing mixed up because I'm a new creature. I'm going to do all new things. How many new creatures done forgot how to cuss? How many new creatures done forgot how to gamble, how to whoremonger, how to lie, how to cheat? You see, once he makes you new, now you got to let him work on the newness. Amen. But sometimes we think, since I'm a new creature, I can do this thing on my own. My God. You, how many of you know that your new car don't smell new for 10 years? It gets some chicken smell in it. I ain't going to meddle too much. It gets some smoke smell in it. I ain't going to bother too many folks. It gets some perfume fragrant that ain't your wife's. Come on, somebody. I'm talking about the new car. I'm talking about the old one. I thought I could chew enough gum that my godmother wouldn't know I had been smoking. Because I was a new creature. Something had happened to me, but I was still struggling. See, this is why the thing got to be taught like God said. Because some people think that, well, if I'm still having the same urges, I must not be new. Tell your neighbor, you better let God work on your new body. Don't listen at that thing that once you give your heart to Christ, everything is all right. Anybody ever had that idea that you need to give your life to Christ so you can get it together? Give your life to Christ so he can get you together. But he cannot get you together until you give yourself to him. Tell your neighbor, let's make the simple process. So we found out that now that I know that through faith in Jesus Christ, I am made righteous. Wait a minute. Did y'all get that? That through my faith in Jesus Christ, I am made righteous. When you make something, when you build something, when you construct something. Digger Reed, I know you worked in construction, but I bet you have never seen two boards get together on their own without somebody picking them up and putting a nail in it. The boards was there, the wood was there, but it couldn't come together unless some hands touched it. Y'all talk to me this morning. Look at your neighbor and say, you need some hands on you. Come on, let's keep it real. Let God put some hands on you. I know some of y'all want to put some hands on some people, but you need to let God put some hands on them.
Because see, when you get through bruising them up, they still gonna be the same old mean, hateful person. Ah, but when God touched them. God, you got to let God. Yeah. And just as it is that God needs to touch them, yeah. He needs to touch you. Yeah. You know, we walk around people, ooh, I'm praying for you. I'm talking about people that are untoward, people that are unlovely. We tell them sarcastically, I'm praying for you. You know, you what you really trying to say, because that's the only reason I ain't knocking the hell out of you. You know, you that's what you really want to say to him. Now I just said what you wanted to say. Now, I know that I am made righteous. How many of you practiced this week saying, I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus? How many of you said that this week? So just in case you forgot, go ahead and say it this morning. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. He didn't ask you if you felt righteous. He didn't ask you if you looked righteous. He didn't ask you if you did righteous. I dare you to keep saying it. Some of y'all need to say it more than others. Amen, because you've gone further than some of us. But the good thing about it, there's one remedy fits all. Amen, Harold, but I think I need to say it a few more times in the morning. Mm-hmm. Before I meet the events of the day. Anybody have some of those events of the day that you don't feel so righteous? You got to tell yourself, I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. In fact, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21 tells us that. See, and I always like to tell you biblically what I'm telling you. Because some stuff just sound good, but you can't find it. Anybody know that you got to be careful? Oh, come on, y'all. It's okay to say it. You got to be careful. And I'm teaching and training you, because when you go in these places with all this emotion running all over the church, all over the wall, they better back that stuff up with the word of God. Is that all right? 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, he made Christ who knew no sin. This is from the Amplified Version. There it is up there. To judicially be sin on our behalf. In other words, he gave Jesus jurisdiction by judge order to take our place for sin. In other words, Jesus didn't just do this on his own. It was signed by a judge. It was signed by the judge, Jehovah God, that he could take our place for sin. I don't want to mess you up too bad this morning, but I got to tell you so we can keep order in the church. Even Jesus just didn't go do something because he could. He got an order from his Father. Mm-hmm. I know y'all want to just do stuff because you can. Amen. But Jesus didn't even take sin on himself from us until God signed the order. He said, I'm going to allow you to be sin on our behalf so that in him we would become, what you say? Come on, somebody. We would become the righteousness of who? Somebody say, Pastor didn't make that up. I'm reading it. That we would become the righteousness of God. That is, we would be made acceptable to him. And look at this. Placed in a right relationship. Wait a minute. He said, I'm going to place you in a right relationship. He didn't say you have to earn it and get there. He said, if you will just let me make you right, I'll place you where you need to be. You ought to talk to God every morning and say, place me where I ought to be, God. Don't put me nowhere where righteousness is not going on. See, you got to get honest with God. Am I helping anybody this morning? You need to be honest with God and say, God, don't let me go nowhere where unrighteousness is going on. Because, God, I still got some desires for unrighteousness. Am I talking to any holy folk here this morning? I know you hallelujah on Sunday, but you want to sin on Monday. I know that. I know you praise God all day today, but I know that when it's cold outside, you ain't got the month of May. You looking for my girl, anybody's girl. Y'all don't want to get real with me this morning. Hallelujah. And so that's why you have to ask God to keep you in the right places. You can't go right by yourself. Wait a minute. You cannot put your life on automatic pilot and expect to end up where God wants you to be. You see, you got to let God do it. I love it because he said, I will make you, I will place you in the right relationship with him by his gracious, loving kindness. So he puts us in right relationship with himself. I mean, haven't y'all been trying to figure this out all this time? That the answer is God puts us in the right relationship with him. You can't read enough to get in the right relationship with him. I'm going to mess you up bad. You can't pray enough to get in the right relationship with him. But you can believe it enough. Because when you are in right relationship with him, now your prayer is, thank you for putting me in right relationship with you. Your prayer is not for God to whoop and punish people. Now it got quiet. That's why Jesus said, when you pray, pray after this manner, our Father who art in heaven. Then he said, thy will be done on earth as it is. That means put me in the right place, God. I can't do your will on my own. Some folk think because God saved them, now they can live right. Come on, man. I'm going to show you scripturally that you can't. Woo! And it's going to help us to know that once you get saved, stop leaving God out. You know, we get saved, now we want to save the world.
Yeah.
You're trying to save the world with world tendencies.
Come on.
And that's why you get weak when you go where they are. Yeah, brother, yeah. I love my men up here, yeah. When you get saved, they still fine. They don't lose their fineness because you got saved. Somebody... Huh? Thank you, Jesus. He still look good. He still what you like. He didn't change because you got saved. And so we have to understand, Reverend Jones, that when we get God, we still need him. Sometimes we think once we get him, it's all right. Everything's good. It's gravy. I'm good now. It sounds oxymoronic, but the truth is, once you get God, you still need him. He will place you in right relationship with his gracious. Look at what he said. He will place you in right relationship not by what you do or what you keep doing, but he said, but by his gracious loving kindness. Because he understands the day when you make a zero on the test, you got to understand, I'm still saved.
Yeah.
Now, when you make a zero, the church gonna tell you you're going to hell. Because they don't want you to look at their report card that had a zero on it back in 49. But God is the one who grades on the curve. Somebody ought to say, thank you, Jesus. He cannot grade on 100 because don't nobody make that. Sometimes the highest grade in the church is a 50. But because God grades on a curve, 50 is an A. Somebody ought to say, thank you, Lord. And so when you understand, you look at the fact that you got a 50 and somebody got a 25, they didn't fail. But on a regular grade, they would have failed. But a 25 on a 50 scale is a C. How many of you was glad to see a C on your report card? Tell your neighbor, it looks better than a D, baby. It looks better than a D. And so, as we move into what God has for us, I've been placed in right standing with God. I've been justified through faith. With God, I've been justified. The word justified also means made right. When you look at justified, can I break that word down to you in some common terms? When you are justified, it is just as if you never did it. It is just if I'd never done it. Somebody say, just if I'd. I'm justified. Just if I'd never done it. That's the way God looks at it. He justifies you. He makes it as though you've never done it. And what he does is he smears it with his blood, and now God can't see it. Tell your neighbor, nothing penetrates the blood. And I don't know about y'all, but I got some stuff. Thank God for the blood. Yeah, high five your neighbor and tell him, thank God for the blood. Woo, because it's some, tell him, if it's some stuff under the blood that if you could see it. Hey. It's some stuff under the blood right now that if you could see it, you wouldn't even want to hear what I got to say. Yeah, thank God it's under the blood. And he takes you and I and he sets us where we ought to be. And the only thing you had to do was have faith. Let me see if you got faith this morning. If you've got faith, God will set you where you need to be. Come on, you ought to shout right there that you found out that you ain't got to work your way no more. All you got to do is just believe on the Lord God. You see, and then he will set you there. Wait, let me show you something in that text. If God sets you in the place of righteousness, you don't want to just sin. If he sets you in the midst of righteousness, then the sin is no longer around you. How many want to be set in the right place? Yeah, it ain't going to be the end of it when he sets you there. I'm fixing to show you something. You see, God places us in right standing with him. And when he does that, his work is not over. Wait a minute. Notice I said his work. You ought to say thank you, Jesus, right there. Because now, Lord, that you've set me where I ought to be, your work's still not over. Why is God's work not over when he sets us in the right place with him? When he justifies us and makes us right? Why is his work not over? Because as long as you are in the world, you shall suffer tribulation. I wish I had me some real sanctified folk here this morning that will understand just because you saved, you still going to suffer. Just because you're saved, you're still going to have trials, tribulations, temptations, faults, failures. But I'm in the right place. See, that's what you're missing. If I'm in the right place, I'm in the place where the right one can do something about it. Tell your neighbor, stay with God. I don't care what you did. You see, God knows that even after we have been made righteous, we can't do this on our own. The reality is that the world is full of, catch this, available trouble. Woo, somebody say, I know what you mean, Pastor. Because I don't want to do it, but it sure is available. Your neighbor trying to act like it ain't available to them. But one of these days, we're gonna live a long time. Because I just don't think they struggle with what I struggle with. But one of these days, I'm going to get there where I'm all right sitting looking at the TV all day and talking to God as I do it. Y'all have earned that. Woo, but I got some stuff in me that the devil want to snatch back. Come on, y'all don't hear me this morning. How many of you God have gifted to, and the devil is after your gift? Hey. Huh? He's after your anointing. He's after your abilities. He wants to snatch it back. But you got to look that devil in the eye and say, yeah, you messing with me, but I've been made right with God. I've been made right with God. So we know that sin is available, trouble is available. But our text this morning, somebody say, I'm just getting to my text. Our text is getting to Psalms number 138, verses 7 and 8. And we're going to read that this morning. I'm going to take my time and read it. Now, I know what you told me, Andre, so I'm going to have to get comfortable right here so I don't sweat out my picture later on. I know this ain't pulpit etiquette, but I need to pull my shirt out. Psalm 138, 7 and 8. Are you ready, Lady Lane?
Though I walk in the midst of trouble.
Wait, I'm going to just get comfortable because I'm going to preach this thing. Though I walk in the midst, what does the word midst mean? Midst mean I'm in the middle of it. Yeah. Wait a minute. I'm talking to saved folk here. Yeah. I'm in the middle of trouble and I ain't got to be doing what I'm in the middle of. Yeah. But if I continually be in the middle of it, you ought to understand after a while something don't like, woo. Yeah. Yeah. Read it again.
Though I walk in the midst of trouble, you will revive me.
You will revive me. So wait a minute. Let's break that down. Yeah. So if I'm in the midst of trouble and I need to be revived, that must mean that the trouble got the best of me. Yeah. Right. Because if you don't need to be revived, that means that you're okay in the trouble. Yeah. Look at your neighbor and say, do you need to be revived? So he said, you will revive me because I'm in the midst of the trouble. So that says to me that something within the trouble I didn't do too good. And it caused me to faint. Anybody ever fainted in trouble? And when you came to, you was already through? But God says, I will revive you. Listen, he's going to revive you right where you are. Because where you are is in right standing with him. Don't forget that. See, that's what you can't forget. No matter what happens, I'm in right standing with God. And when trouble gets too much for me, he says, I will revive you. But I wish somebody would have taught this a long time ago. Read it on.
You will stretch forth your hand against the wrath of my enemies. All
right. The stuff that caused me trouble. Yeah. How many of you know sin is your enemy? Right. Unrighteousness is your enemy. Right. Hmm? Right. It don't have to be a people, a race, or a nation. Right. Huh? Anything that causes you trouble is your enemy. Now you have to understand that not only are your surroundings your enemy, sometimes your own self is your enemy. Mm-hmm. That's why I implore you always to be honest with God. If you feel in some type of way, let him know. Don't try to come here and wave it away. Say, Lord, I want to. I need a reviving. Come on, revive me, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. What else did he say?
And your right hand will save me.
Wait a minute. Will revive me because I done fell out. Yeah. I done passed out. They thought I was dead. Yeah. Come on, how many of your enemies thought they had you? Yeah. It looked like your situation was dead. Come on, talk to me. It looked like your situation was over. Yeah. Huh? But God stepped in and revived you. And not only did he revive you, he said, I'll save you. And what he means right there is not save you over again, but I'm going to save you from this situation. Somebody shout, he'll get you out of what you're in. I know he'll save you. Because he got too much in you. God has vested too much in you. He don't want to see you where you can be overcome by the enemy. He will revive you and he will save you. Come on, somebody. How can you continue to just not trust God when he picked you up out of the stuff that you were in? After he put you in the right place. I'm not talking to people who haven't sinned since they've been saved. I'm talking to the folk that's in the right place but still messed up. It's not who you are, but it's what happened to you. How many of you know, you know what you did is not who you are, but it's just what happened. And how many of you know life is full of happenings? But thank God, Lord, he knows how to get you out. Tell your neighbor, you don't have to stay there. He's ready to get you out. And see, what you need to understand about God is he doesn't get you out to whoop you. He gets you out to save you. See, when we go to jail, you might get out. Your mama might beat the socks off of you once she gets you out. But God gets you out to save you. We get people out for the wrong reason. You got to get them out to save them. Hmm? Don't get them out to spoil them. Get them out to save them. Get them out to tell them that God is placing himself in your life. And if you don't surrender, he's still going to be in your life even if he got to kill you. See, we don't want to talk to our folks like that. You're just trying to scare them with hell. They ain't scared of hell. Because if they was, they'd change. You get them to turn around by letting them know you're going to do God's will because I got prayer on your life. So either you're going to do it or he's going to kill you, but I'll see you in glory. They don't want to talk to him like that deep. We want to leave them here and we want to see what God going to do. If your eyes don't ever see it, if God have justified them, no matter what they do, God is going to bring them in, but they won't have to go the way we go. And the way we go is by serving and praising and worshiping him. But sometimes God got to snatch a hard head. Amen. But he loves even them. How many of you know that you can cover your loved ones in prayer? I'm talking about they ain't nowhere near doing what you think they ought to do. But will you turn them over to God? You really won't. Because if you do, let me show you something. He puts them in right standing.
That's right.
Uh-oh. But they still hard-headed, Pastor. But he puts them in right standing. You need to understand that God has a certain amount of grace that he's given them. And if they exceed that grace, he might kill them. But they go into glory. Well, I know this is too tough for somebody. I'd rather for God to kill a loved one to keep them from going to hell. So now this is going to give us a sense of urgency to try to let this grace thing work. What verse did you read there? Read verse 8.
The Lord will perfect that which concerns me.
Hey, who concerned about their loved ones? Who concerned about their family members? Who concerned about their job? Who concerned about their kids? Who's concerned about their spouse? Who's concerned about their finances? Who's concerned about their health? Come on. If you're concerned in here, God says that when I put you in the right place, listen, not before, but when I put you in the right place, now I'm going to begin to perfect those things. See, that's why it makes no sense, but we want our loved ones to get stuff right. They just got to get in the right place. Then God will perfect those things. The lexical meaning of the word perfect means he will cause to cease or disappear. So that means if stuff is wrong with us, he's going to cause it to cease or disappear. Now, I don't know about you, but I can think of a couple of things. Come on, disappear. Come on, I know y'all looking at people. You want them to disappear, but you need to look inside your heart and say, yeah, disappear, disappear. Yeah. Abracadabra, come on, somebody. Yeah! You know you got some stuff that needs to disappear. And so when he says, I'll perfect it, I'll cause it to disappear. In other words, he says, I'll cause it to come to an end. It will finish, or I will accomplish. So it's a twofold meaning. He's caused that which is not right to disappear, and then he will also finish and accomplish what he's starting in you. When God sets you in the right place, he ain't through with you. We just didn't know it. We thought, oh, now, see, y'all need to get it together. But when God sets you in the right place, he's just now getting ready to work on you. See, that, y'all know we didn't get it like that. We thought when he put us in the right place, everything is all good. No, he put you in the right place so that he can work on you. Because God will not go where you don't want him to go. If he did it any other way, he would force himself in. But when you have faith, that says to him, I want you to put me where I ought to be. And then when he puts you there, he says, now I got you where I want you. Now I'm going to work on you. Boy, we've been had this thing backwards. We thought he worked on us to get us right. He gets us right to work on us. Thank you, Lord. You see, God puts the car in. God puts the brand new car in the auto mechanic shop. See, we thought the mechanic shop was for the humpty. But you got to understand, the mechanic shop is for the brand new car. The one that's been made new. God don't need to work on a humpty. He wants to make it new. So tell your neighbor, I'm going to get me a new car. And it walks on 2 feet. Yeah. It burns prayer for gas. Yeah, it feeds on the word of God. Tell somebody, I got a new car. And they're not going to understand what your paper tag car is doing in the shop. But he makes you brand new to work on you. Thank you, Lord. I know that's backwards, but he makes you new to work on you. Thank you. So he will accomplish. He says, it is an abrupt and permanent termination. That's what the word perfect means. An abrupt and permanent termination. That means he gonna end some stuff in me for good. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, where are my strugglers at? Come on here. Come on. He gonna end some stuff in you for good. Ah, wouldn't it be good, Harold, to wake up and don't have to worry about that no more? I don't care what your that is, but wouldn't it be good to wake up and ain't worried with that no more? He said he'll cause it to end permanently. That's what he's doing when he perfects that which concerns you. God will complete the good work of grace in your life. Isn't that good news? The work is the work of grace. Because grace looks beyond all of that stuff. And it makes you right with God. I never knew, Reverend Jones, that the time God wanted to work on me is when I became new. That's when he wants to decorate every room of my house. That's when he wants to interiorize my house. What I love about it is he knows how to decorate each room so that when that which is not right won't fit in that room. You know, when a room is fully decorated, it has a theme to it. Oh, Lord, have mercy. And our theme is righteousness. I know my theme in my cave might be the Dallas Cowboys, but I'm talking about a room that the theme is righteousness. And when righteousness is the theme of your decor, when unrighteousness show up, it sticks out. Huh? When the theme color of your room is mauve and lilac and pink, pastel colors, when blackness come in and it sticks out. So God, work on decorate my room. I don't want to have anything to do with it, God. I don't want the posters on the wall. I don't want pictures hanging. God, I just want whatever you want in there. I'm looking for three people that will surrender just like that this morning. That will give your room and your new car over to God and say, fix it any way you want to. Whatever you do is all right with me, God. But I want you to perfect those things that are concerning me. He will not set you in a righteous place and leave you. Huh? See, when God set us in this righteous place, he didn't walk off and leave us. He says, now I got you where I want you. I'm gonna decorate it. I already made you new, but now I'm gonna decorate it. Can I tell you what he starts decorating with first? He decorates first with the Holy Spirit. Come on, how many of you need that in your house? You already been born again, but how many of you know you need the Holy Spirit to come in and seal what already been done? So he fills the house with his Spirit. Thank you, Jesus. And as he does that, he's still working on you, making and molding and shaping you to be what he would have you to be. He perfects you. He perfects those things that concern you. He perfects your struggles and that which the enemy desires to inflict upon you. He says, I got you. The psalmist told us in 137, Psalm 138 and 7, he says, I'm in the midst of trouble. But God is saying, wherever trouble is, I'm there. Why am I there? Because I set you in the right place. And what you need to understand this morning, people of God, is that when God has put you in the right place, the enemy is looking for you. Did y'all know that? He knows you're not where you used to be, so he goes hunting for you. Has anybody ever had the enemy looking for you? And he wants to find out where you are. And then he wants to try to create a smoke screen of trouble to get you to lose faith in God. Because that's the only way you can lose your place in God, is by losing faith in God. But as long as you hold on to faith, I don't care what it looked like, you're in the right place with God. And don't fool yourself, he's going to keep working on you. I'll keep being a brand new car in a garage. Come on, somebody. I'll stay in the mechanic shop as long as God is doing what he want to do in my life. That's the good news, because when you feel like you can't make it, he's there watching over you, because I told you earlier, you are the work of his hands. Tell your neighbor again, let God put them hands on you. Because you are the work of his hands. And if you are the work of his hands, he's not going to leave you. I don't care what the church told you. He's not going to leave you until he's through with you. Thank you, Lord. Let me close. Philippians 1 and 6. Are you ready? Let's read. And we got to go.
And I am convinced and sure of this very thing.
I am convinced. You got to say that with me this morning. And I am sure of this very thing. What are we sure of?
That he who began a good work in you will continue until the day of Jesus Christ.
Woo! I don't care what they said you would be. And what they said you never would be. If you let God keep his hands on you. Come on and put you in the right place. Ask your neighbor again, are you in the right place with God this morning? Then God has his hands on you. High five three people and tell them, God has his hands on me. And he's working on me. Thank you, Lord. Come on, tell him thank you. Tell him, work on me, Lord, until you get through with me. Whatever you find that ain't all what it ought to be, work on me, Lord. That's where I am, Reverend Jones. I want him to work on me, because I know I got some stuff that ain't right. But even though it ain't right, I'm still in the right place for God to work on me. Work on my engine, Lord. If I need a tune-up, give me one, Lord. But I'm in the right place, Lord. He said, I'll work on you. He doesn't just begin the work, but he completes it. Isn't that good news, y'all? He don't just start on us, but he completes it. And all you have to do is stay in the right place. You don't have to try to keep 613 laws, not even 10. But if you stay in the right place and have faith, that means you love God. And he said, if you love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy strength, all thy might, thou shalt be saved. And if you love your neighbor as yourself. So stay in the right place with God. And he will complete and perfect the work in you. Paul was confident in this, and so am I. God promised to stay with us until Jesus returns. Now, if he stayed with you until Jesus come back, what you got to worry about? When Jesus get back, what you got to worry about? Because he's been with you the whole time. And all that he's going to do is when that resurrection day comes, That's the return of Jesus.
Yeah.
And that will be the day when everything is finalized and complete in our lives. Isn't that good news, y'all? Somebody thought they had to get it all together before they die. But I just read this scripture that said it won't be complete until the day of Jesus Christ. Woo, y'all have messed up some folks' theology with that. But just ask them, what Bible are they reading? All you got to do is stay where he can keep working on you. And he said, I won't stop till I get back. And when I get back, I'll do the last little thing you need. Come on, let's go. Woo! Well done! Woo! Good God of my... Well done! How many of you thought you had to have it perfect before you got in the grave? Read the book. He said, I ain't gonna perfect it till I come back. But I'll have you in the place working on that brand new car in the spiritual auto mechanic shop. You know what, hell? I don't want to drive it too much. Because I know where I want to go. Nah, y'all didn't get that. So I want to stay in the mechanic shop. Even if it seemed like it's running good. Staying right standing with God. You see, Harold, you know how we are. If a car running good, we're going to take a road trip. And where we going ain't going to have too much to do with God. We won't trust that humpty. We're getting that new one. Or the better one. Whatever it is. But stay in right standing with God, church. So that God can continue the work of his hands. The final verse of chapter Psalm 138 verse 8 says, he will not forsake the work of his hands.
Yeah.
Say out of your mouth, I am
the work,
the work
of
God's hands. Oh, you ought to shout right there. So what you see is in the right place. But God's still working on me.
Yeah.